Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. And as you're turning there, I'm going to look at one passage in Matthew 16 very quickly. In verse 25 of Matthew 16, the Word of God says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever loses life for my sake shall find it." Whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever loses his life will find it. I think in Christianity, sometimes there is a misunderstanding of what the cross is. What a believer's cross, their own personal cross, really means. And it's something that we have an understanding of, but sometimes our understanding can be vague. And in that vagueness, we lose the sweetness of the cross and really the provision that the cross has become. We look at the cross as the payment for our sins. And yes, it is the payment for our sins. God took on Himself that which belonged to us. But it's so much more than that. If it was just about the payment for our sins, it really would be a shallow experience with God. It would not be full salvation. Because our salvation only begins there. That's not the full extent of it. That's just the beginning. And there is more to it than just that. And so, when we think about the cross in our lives, we can think of it in negative terms also. Like, this is, I have to sacrifice, I have to give up, I have to die to myself. By the way, Jesus never said die to yourself. But these are the types of things that go through our minds. And that's really not what the cross is about. We see it as an austere thing, and it's really not an austere thing. It's a rich thing. It's a thing that is full of life. It's vibrant. The cross is something that gives a fullness of life, not that removes something from me, but that adds something to me. And so I'd like to take a few minutes and talk about what it means that a believer has a cross. What is the believer's cross? In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." You He made alive that were dead in trespasses and sins. There's this mentality that the cross is me dying. But that's not what it is. The cross is me being made alive. Because I'm already dead without the cross. Now, a person who's born again is spiritually alive, but in their experience, they can be just like the unbeliever. They can be dead in trespasses and sins in their experience, not experiencing the life of God and the fullness of God. But the cross is not there to kill me. The cross is there to make me alive. Because in the world, in my trespasses and sins, I'm already dead. Now, in order to understand this fully, I first have to understand what it means that I'm dead in trespasses and sins. Because to our minds, it often connotates an outward sin. If a believer is to understand what a cross means in his life, then he has to understand what it means that he was dead in trespasses and sins. Because we see the cross as being death, and it's not. The cross was death to only one person, and that was the Savior. To us, it's life. Now, in order to understand dead in trespasses and sins, because we often connotate this as outward sin, perhaps drug abuse, fornication, murder, theft, whatever. And we think of these as our trespasses and sins. But that is a very shallow view of the meaning of that. It is far greater than that. In Genesis 2:17, that's what really defines sin right there. That at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, if we eat of it, we die. And of course, this is where we fell, is at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And in the B part of Romans 14:23, the Word of God says that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And so, when we're talking about dead in trespasses and sins, we have to understand that it's not dead in theft, or dead in fornication, or dead in murder, or dead in drug abuse. It's dead in the tree of knowledge of good and evil experience. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is that which removes me from faith. Because in order to live in faith, I have to have God consciousness. The tree of knowledge of good and evil is the tree of self-consciousness. And so, dead in trespasses and sins means that I'm dead in self-consciousness. And this is what separates me from God. This is the death, that self-consciousness. So, when I think about the cross, I have to understand that it's not my outward mistakes. It's a condition of my heart, of my mind, of my soul. This deadness that is conscious of self and not conscious of God. The two are mutually exclusive. I will either be conscious of self or I will be conscious of God. Where it gets a little bit tricky sometimes for us believers is when we get conscious of self and religious. Where then I start calling my self-consciousness God-consciousness. But it's not. It's still self-consciousness with a God-awareness. And so when a believer gets to this place, they can really get tangled up pretty good. And continuing in verse 2 of Ephesians 2, the Word of God says, "Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past." And remember, conversation refers to lifestyle. "In the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of flesh and of mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, even as others." And so what happens is that at this point of self-consciousness, at the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we enter into these lust patterns. Now, the lust patterns are not necessarily what we always think of them as. I mean, they've been clearly defined for us. There's six particular ones, and then there's different manifestations of those. But that's not what I'm referring to. We think of these lust patterns as like lust for the opposite sex or lust for money. And those are certain types of expressions, but they are not the only types of expressions. You see, there is a tree of knowledge of good and of evil. It's of good and of evil. And that self-consciousness plays in both. And so, whether it's at the good side or the evil side, the problem is the same. A person can be self-conscious rather than God-conscious. Often, because we live at the good side and not at the evil side, we say, "I don't fornicate, I don't murder, I don't do that." But there's the problem, "I don't." You see, do you see the problem? It's self-consciousness trying to, what I don't do wrong, elevate myself in what I don't do. Well, that's no more righteousness than if I was out there committing fornication or murder or drug abuse or whatever. That's no more righteous at all. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs chapter 6, that's a more difficult state to be in. Is it that good side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil? A believer needs to be delivered from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, whether they live at the good side or at the evil side. It's the same tree. Do you understand? It's the same tree. And so I might say to myself, well, I'm good. I'm not doing my best. I mean, I don't do those things. We've seen people say, my righteousness is established on the fact that I don't do certain things. I don't go out there and steal. I don't go out there and have a dishonest business. I don't go out there and live like that person does. And this is how sometimes we try to live in this relative righteousness, trying to elevate ourselves at the good side of the tree of knowledge, saying, well, I'm not at the evil side of the tree of knowledge, therefore I'm good. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work, because when Eve ate of the tree, she ate at the good side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. She didn't eat at the evil side. Satan is much happier having people eat at the good side of the tree of knowledge than the evil side, because they don't see their need for God that way. They don't live in humility that way. They don't come to Him and saying, God, you know, forgive me, I'm a sinner that way. Have mercy on me, like the publican did. He'd much rather say, I'm thank God that I'm not like that person. And I do this and I'm not like that. And I'm very happy that I'm not like that. And God says, you're eating at the same tree. You're exactly the same. And we don't think of it that way. Because we live in this self-consciousness. And in this self-consciousness, we try to establish our righteousness comparing ourselves to another person when that comparison cannot be made. Sometimes people try to compare themselves to God. I talked to somebody like that recently. They were at this person, I want to be God-like. And I understand what he's trying to say, but at the same time, how can I possibly be God-like? Right, that was the mistake that Lucifer made. He wanted to be like the Most High. I cannot be, nor do I desire to be like God. I may be transformed into His image, but I'm not like Him. Can you imagine if a man was to be like God? That's actually a little bit scary to me. And so we don't live in this self-defined thing. But yet believers often do live there, in this self-defined concept of what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil, what is godly and what is ungodly, what is blessing and what is cursing. We don't live that way, because that is apart from faith. That is the soul that is lifted up in itself in Habakkuk 2:3. And that soul is not right, because the soul is living in the good side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Sometimes it's possible for us to think that the cross is the good side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, versus the evil side. Okay, I won't live at the evil side. I won't be reactionary. I won't be negative. I won't be critical or judgmental. I won't be all these other things. Instead, I'll be these things. I'll be patient, and I'll be tolerant, and I'll be kind to people, and I'll be whatever. And the problem still remains. There is no deliverance in that. It's still self-consciousness. It's still separation from God. It's still a lot of fig leaves. What essentially that such a person is saying, if I say that, I'm saying, I won't live naked, I will live with my fig leaves. And I'm going to cover myself in fig leaves. But fig leaves aren't a good covering. Fig leaves had no place with God. Abel did not bring God fig leaves, but Cain did. We can't live with fig leaves. The cross takes away my fig leaves, and it brings me the skins that cover me. The cross is my provision. It's not my provision to not be cranky or irritable or negative or whatever. It's not my provision to get me to perform better at all. Sometimes we try to use the cross as like, I should perform better. But that's not what the cross is about. The cross is something entirely different. The cross is what I'm conscious of. To the pure, all things are pure. Why? Because there's a cross in the pot. Do you remember when there was death in the pot? Right? And what did he do? Well, he threw in what was the representation of the cross. Do you remember the waters at Mira? They were bitter. What did he do? He threw in what was the representation of the cross. And this is what it means, that unto the pure all things are pure. It means that to the man or woman who is pure in their heart, who is God conscious, really, because that's what purity is, who is God conscious, everything is pure to that person. They don't see things in other light. They don't see things in other ways. They don't see as a matter of comparison. They don't see as a matter of evaluation. This is another one. Believers sometimes try to evaluate. They evaluate their own lives. How am I holding up? How am I measuring up? How am I doing? Or sometimes they evaluate the lives of another person. How is that person doing? What is that person doing? Like, how do they measure up to my expectations? That's just more of the good side of the tree of knowledge. This is not a cross. This is separation. I need to learn what the cross means before I can experience its benefits. Because if I have a misconception of the cross, then all it's going to do is it's going to put me in a performance orientation. But it has nothing to do with performance. It's all about where my consciousness lies. And these two aspects of the tree of knowledge, sometimes they'll collide. In 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 10, we have an interesting example of that. For if a man see thee which has knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. But when you sin so against the brother and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. Paul is addressing two types of people here. He's addressing one type of person who is at the good side of the tree of knowledge, and one type of person who is at the evil side of the tree of knowledge. And what he's saying here is that the fact that the one is sitting at the good side of the tree of knowledge may actually strengthen the one who is at the evil side of the tree of knowledge. Why is that? Because it's still the same tree. It's still the same tree. I've noticed something in the way that the world operates. It's very interesting to watch. Sometimes you'll have two entities or parties who seem like they are at the opposite side of the spectrum. But yet, when things get to the point where the rubber meets the road, where kingdoms are really revealed, they end up on the same side in agreement. If it comes, let's say, that you have a Christian, a third party, you have a Christian that is introduced into the group, or into the picture, then, and there is, let's say, some kind of disagreement, you would say, okay, here you have a worldly person who is perhaps conservative, and an unsafe person also, and they're both unsafe, who's liberal. And we would say, well, usually the conservatives are more friendly to the Christians because the Christians are conservative. But that's not how it's going to play out. The way it's going to play out is the conservative who is unsaved and the liberal who is unsaved will come together. Why? Because they are of the same kingdom. Kingdoms are very powerful. Kingdoms are stronger than ideologies. And when you have two people of the same kingdom, although they may be on opposite sides of the spectrum in their ideology, they will put their ideology aside in favor of the kingdom. And this happens every time, it seems. And the kingdoms always are manifested. Why? Because whether you are at the good side of the tree of knowledge of evil, good and evil, or at the evil side, you're still eating from the same tree. And it will be manifested. And so a person living at the good side of the tree of knowledge lives there still in self-consciousness. The person who lives at the evil side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil lives there in self-consciousness. And the one eats at the good side because he is self-conscious and desires one type of lust pattern. And the other is at the evil side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil because he is self-conscious and lives in another type of lust pattern. But they're really both in exactly the same boat. They're just, one is at the stern and the other is at the bow. But it's the same boat. It's like saying, okay, I'm at the stern of the Titanic or at the bow of the Titanic. And the one who says, I'm at the stern of the Titanic says, I'm better off than the one at the bow of the Titanic. Well, the whole boat went down. And it didn't really matter where on the boat you were. You needed the life raft. And if you didn't get it, you went down with it. It's like that with us too. I can eat at the good side. I can eat at the evil side. There really is no difference. And so, what I need to do, what the cross does for me, is I need to be delivered from the tree of knowledge altogether. I don't need to be delivered from the evil side unto the good side. I need to be delivered from the whole tree. Just cut the tree down. I just need to cut the tree down. It's that simple. In 22 of Genesis 3, the Word of God says, behold, the man has become as one of us. This is what God said. The man has become as one of us to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. What is this saying? That man became self-conscious, like God is. Here's the difference. God's self-consciousness is right because God's self-consciousness is God consciousness. And so God is saying the man has become like one of us. He said we are self-conscious because we are God conscious and we are God. But man is not, man is self-conscious like we are, but he is man. And there is the problem. Because he does not have the mind of God. He does not have the wisdom of God. He does not have the perception of God. And so now man is self-conscious, and in his self-consciousness he evaluates good and evil according to sight and the hearing of the ears and all these other empirical senses. And only God is capable of that. But people will get to this place where we evaluate by sight, thinking it's fine because we're at the good side of the tree of knowledge. And it's nothing more than more separation. And at that point, if I go there, and at that point, I will actually damage the person who is on the other side of the tree of knowledge. And so now God has to take me out. This is why death came. The solution to it is simple. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to His disciples, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me." What is He saying? Let him stop being self-conscious. Let him receive the life that comes from the cross, and then he follows Me. I cannot follow God at the good side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. All I can do is become good and religious. I cannot follow God at the evil side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Either way, I can't follow Him. What do I need? I need to get rid of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I need to go back to the tree of life. Therein is the cross. What He's really saying here is, let him stop being self-conscious and let him become God-conscious again and follow Me. In Romans 6:11, reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon yourself dead unto the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Self-consciousness, remember? Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Reckon yourself dead unto faithlessness. Eating at the tree of knowledge, whether evil or good side, eating of the tree of knowledge in self-consciousness. All sin comes from self-consciousness. If I do whatever I do, it's self-consciousness, it is going to be sin, and I don't care how good I want to call it. Because it still goes against God's divine definition, which is don't eat at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But we'll say sometimes like, well, I'm not in sin, I'm not doing anything wrong. Well, right there, you just sinned. How did I sin? Self-consciousness. It's really kind of more basic than we think about it. It's self-consciousness. I can become a tremendous tyrant in self-consciousness. So long as I'm eating at the good side of the tree of knowledge, I'll feel good about being a tyrant. Why? Good side of the tree. I'm saying this is good. And God saying this is death. See, God didn't say it's evil. God said it's death. Because God wasn't going to evaluate in those terms. I always found it fascinating that in Zechariah chapter 3, Jesus did not ever point a finger at the devil. In Job chapters 1 and 2, He did not point a finger at the devil. In all these different places, how did the angel rebuke the prince of the power of Persia in Daniel? He said, "The Lord rebuke you." And Jesus said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you." He wouldn't put a finger on him. He wouldn't, you know why? He wouldn't go to the tree of knowledge, not to the good side either. Why? Because if he had done that, then he would have submitted to Satan. See, here's the thing. Why in Psalm 94:20 does the throne of iniquity work mischief by the law? Because the law is nothing more than the good side of the tree of knowledge. As soon as I eat of that tree, I'm exactly where Eve was, submitted to Satan. And it's exactly what it says here in Ephesians chapter 2. They walk according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, submitted to Satan. And this is exactly where self-consciousness brings me. But I will be blinded to it if I'm eating at the good side of the tree, because I feel righteous in that place. I feel safe there. I feel like I have established in some kind of goodness there. But it's not goodness. It's human good, but human good is wicked. And so we don't eat there. What we do is we get rid of the self-consciousness. In other words, we stop being self-conscious by becoming God-conscious, and then we can follow Him. God-consciousness is the key to everything. We don't define good and evil. Good and evil exist. They don't need our definitions. We stay God conscious. God deals. What did Jesus say when He taught them to pray? Deliver us from evil. Didn't He say it? Deliver us from evil. He didn't say deliver yourself from evil. He didn't say like point it out. He didn't say like let's make sure that we understand where it is. You know why? Because you don't understand where it is. That's the point. Because it's not in anything that I can see. And it's not in my circumstances, and it's not in my surrounding, and it's not the people around me, and it's not what I or somebody else is doing. What is it? It's in the self-consciousness, or in the God-consciousness. And so what He's saying is, deliver us from self-consciousness. Because that's where evil takes hold. When He said, don't give place to the devil, He's talking about don't be self-conscious and don't live in any of its manifestations, whether good or evil. Don't live in that self-consciousness. The problem that we have when we live at the good side of the tree of knowledge is that we take into our thought and we accept it as though it were a reality, that we can actually identify evil. But we can't. Because evil is a kingdom. We can't see the kingdoms. Kingdoms are identified by God in the heart. Kingdoms are not identified by the externals. Kingdoms can only be identified by God. We might be able to discern a kingdom because we can discern a spirit, but we can't identify it through any external means. And so we have to be careful here. A great many problems in our country are due to something very simple. The good side of the tree of knowledge is feuding with the evil side of the tree of knowledge. And Satan is just sitting back and laughing. And he's saying, you guys are just all eating at my tree. You're having a picnic at my tree. And you think you're so right in what you are saying and what you are doing and what you are thinking and what you stand for. And you're just having a picnic at my tree. And that's all that you're doing. Keep at it. That's what he wants. Just keep at it. God comes in and He changes all this. God comes in and He gives me a consciousness of Himself. And He does it through His Word, and He does it through His Spirit, and He does it through the love of God. Understand something. You will not be delivered, and either will I, from evil until you learn the love of God. Why? Because faith works by love. Faith is energized by the love of God. Evil is really nothing more than the program and its expression of self-consciousness. That is its manifestation. That is its root here on earth. Yes, it is Satan's kingdom, but this is how Satan's kingdom is manifested. In order to change that, in order to have that end, I need to know the love of God. Because when I know the love of God, when I receive the love of God, then I can put my gaze on my Savior and become God conscious. Because otherwise, I'm always going to be too trepidatious to be God conscious. I'm always going to worry about everything. I'm always going to say, is it going to work? Are they going to come through? Is it going to be okay? Everything. And when I get there, if I operate on the good side of the tree of knowledge, I'm always going to want to get my hands into things. I'm always going to want to rebuke people. I'm always going to want to control circumstances. Because after all, if I don't, they might just fall apart. Here's the thing. When I try to do that, all I'm doing is getting in God's way. And that's really Satan's plan here. Is to get them in God's way. A person who becomes God conscious does so because of the love of God. And then he'll trust the Word of God as the Holy Spirit imparts those things to his heart. When I become God conscious, all things become pure to me. And I get into this place where I don't have to control things. I don't have to correct things. I don't have to correct people. I don't have to control circumstances. I don't have to understand everything that's going on. I don't have to get the bull by the horns. I just trust grace. I trust the power of grace. Because grace is the most powerful thing there is. And so I trust it. Because it is that threefold grace. You see, this is one of the problems that we were talking about this earlier. When I have a one-sided view of grace, I don't really understand grace, and it will be difficult for me to trust grace. Most believers only see grace as in a one dimension, as the unmerited divine favor of God, and it is that, but it's more. It's also a government. And it's also the loving kindness of God. And the Bible tells us that those are the three aspects of grace. The unmerited favor, yes, absolutely. But also the government and also the kindness of God. But if I see everything as just unmerited favor, I'm going to say, well, I can't. Like, what if unmerited favor just drops the ball? I got to go pick up the ball. I got to make sure the ark doesn't fall, because unmerited favor might just let the ark fall. Problem is, you don't understand grace. No. Unmerited favor is inseparable from the government and from the kindness. This is why Uzzah was killed. It wasn't because he wanted to study the ark. It was because he didn't trust the ability of God. You see, I trust the ability of God when I live in God consciousness. I live in God consciousness and I don't live in fear. I don't live in anxiety. I don't live in judgment or criticism. I don't live in evaluations. I just trust the nature and the government of God. See, I know that things aren't going to fall apart. Why? Because God holds them together. Because grace is real. Because grace is powerful. It's far more powerful than I am. And so at the cross, I learned grace. At the cross, I get to identify with God. You see, here's the thing. Why did Jesus go to the cross? Well, we understand that He paid for our sins at the cross, and yes, that's of course true. But there's more. Much more. At the cross was the first time, really, that Jesus could identify in His fullness with man. He had tremendous empathy and compassion, but how could He identify until the sins of the world were on Him? At the cross was where He could finally identify with us, because we were already dead in trespasses and sins. At the cross, He became dead in trespasses and sins, when all of them were put on Him. At the cross, Christ learned what it was to really be a man, in that manner of speaking. So what does the cross do in my life? Same thing it did in His. In verse 5 of Ephesians 2, when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His joy in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. See, this is the whole thing. This is what the cross is in the believer's life. It's the place where we become alive after we have spent our lives dead. It's the place where we become alive. You can see it sometimes when somebody picks up a cross, all of a sudden there's this richness of life. Or when somebody doesn't have a cross, they live in the dead, even though they are positionally alive. And so we don't have a gaze inward in self-consciousness, but we have a God consciousness with a gaze upward. And there's life there. In Romans 6:8, the Word of God says, "Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him." This is it right here. That when I reckon myself dead indeed unto self and alive unto Christ, I'm alive with Him. I'm already crucified. I've been crucified with Him. But the crucifixion was nothing more than a doorway. Why? The doorway from the death that I already possessed. The only living man who was crucified was the Savior. When I was crucified, they crucified a dead man. But that cross is a doorway. It's my passage to life out of death. It's a passage from discontentment to contentment. It's a passage from thinking wrong to thinking with Philippians 4:8. It's the passage from self-consciousness to God-consciousness. It's the passage from fear to love. The cross is the place where I get the life of God. And without the cross, I will never be able to experience the life of God. The cross is the place where God's kindness becomes my experience, where God's gentleness is something I can grab a hold of, where God's mercy is my everyday experience. All that God is found on the other side of the cross. And so I have to go there. It's imperative Because if I want to be where God is, I have to go to the cross. But I don't stay there. I wake up there. I become alive there. And I just go right through it. Because it's nothing more than a door. That's it. It's just a door. And the life on the other side of that door is the life that is fulfilling. It's the life of God. This is why in John 12:24, the Savior said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. It's nothing more than just this kernel of wheat. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. If I stay as a believer on the world's side of the cross, I abide alone. I'm still separated from the Savior. I still have this fig leaf mentality. I'm still eating at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I may get really heavily involved in religion even. And I'm still just at the tree of... I may be able to tell you everything that's wrong about you because I'm a good old Pharisee. I may be able to do everything right and perform everything perfect. But I'm still nothing more than someone at the good side of the tree that separates me from God. I'm still living in self-consciousness. But I get through that cross and God consciousness produces fruit in me. What fruit does it produce? The fruit of the Spirit. It produces the fruit of the Spirit. The only fruit that's available. And so at the cross, I receive the fullness of the experience. You see, there are people who hear about peace that passes understanding but can't grasp it. They hear about it, but they say, I don't really get. If they were really to be honest and say, I don't have it and I don't know how to get it. And I go and I listen, I go to church and I read my Bible and I even pray and I... and all this stuff, and I just don't get it. I don't experience it. The reason is because when I do that, I'm still eating at that tree of knowledge. I'm still eating at that tree of knowledge of good and evil. That self-conscious tree. And though I may long in my heart to have the fruit of the Spirit, I'm still at that self-conscious tree. And until I cut that tree down, it doesn't matter whether I'm eating at the good side or the evil side. Until I get rid of that tree and start eating at the tree of life, in other words, go to God consciousness, and abandon self-consciousness, then I'll never experience that fruit. This is what God does when He conforms me to His image. It's pretty simple, really. It's not that all of a sudden I'm Christ-like, goody-two-shoes, spouting scriptures and walking 3 inches above the ground. Shining. No, it means that I've become God conscious. That's what it means. I've become God conscious. And self-consciousness is pushed away. I could return to it. But because I'm being sustained by the love of God and the Word of God and the Spirit of God, I don't. But I can easily slip back if I step away from the provisions that I have. I can put down the cross more easily than pick it up sometimes because I still have that old sin nature. You know what it means to live in the old sin nature? To live in that self-conscious separation. That's all it is. That self-conscious separation that's brought on by the tree of knowledge. So I just need to get rid of that tree. And I stop being self-conscious. I live in God consciousness and I follow my Savior. Because now I'm living with my Savior and His life is in me. It becomes really easy. It becomes very peaceful. It becomes very joyful. Because the life of God is there. But it's only found on that other side of the cross. It's never found at the tree of knowledge. The tree of knowledge brings one thing only. A self-consciousness that leads to separation. And it doesn't matter how much I eat at the good side. If I want to get rid of that, I need God consciousness. I need God consciousness. That's the cross. Amen.